right, this morning we're going to talk about telling people about God. And this is a subject which is repeated quite often. And I know I talk about it a lot because this is our duty and we're supposed to do it. And I appreciate what Al said in his prayer, that we should tell others what God has done for us. And that will be reflected in our lesson this morning. But this, based on this song, Will You Not Tell It Today? And we'll look at that again in a little bit. But anyway, the scripture in Psalm 66:16 says, "Come and hear all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul." And then in 1 Chronicles 16:24 says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples." And then in Psalm 22 and verse 22, "I will tell of thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise thee." In all of these, there is a word on there, is to make known, to declare. I will tell, I will declare, I will tell to my brethren. And so it's just something that we see. Now, what we see here is, who do we tell? Well, first of all, as we just quoted the scripture, we tell each other. We tell believers what God has done for me. We have many in our congregation. We talk to each other. We tell them what God has done for me. And that's a warm-up, because when we get comfortable telling each other what God has done for me and how great God is to me and all the blessings he has bestowed upon me, then we can have confidence to go and tell non-believers. We have that opportunity. So we practice among ourselves. We help each other learn these things. Then we tell non-believers. And we not only have these words that we have, but we have all creation tell us about God and his works. One example is Psalm 19 and verse 11. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." Actually, that's verse 1. But anyway, it's Psalm 19 verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and everything that he has created, everything within the firmament, shows his handiwork." And so we have the opportunity to tell people about God and what he has done, not only for us, but for all mankind. As we continue, Psalms 40 and verse 5 says, "Thou hast multiplied, O Lord my God, thy wondrous deeds and thy thoughts toward us. None can compare with thee. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be numbered." So, yes, God has given us so many blessings, we can't keep track of them all. And we just really have to open our eyes. Because for a lot of us, those blessings are there, and sometimes we don't realize it. Sometimes we don't appreciate those blessings like we should. And so, there's so many of them, they are numerous. And then we compare that with what John 21:25, notice what he says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books which were written." And that's very true. I mean, so Jesus did so much, but we only have a short portion of that. In fact, John goes on to say, "But the things that we have written here are so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And believing on his name, you'll have eternal life." And so, yes, we recognize there's so much to tell about God. And when we have the opportunity, how much do we tell about God? Here's usually what you get. You get the point? When we have the opportunity to tell people about God, what do? I mean, there's reason for that, right? Well, we don't want them to think we're too religious. They might pick on us. Folks, we are supposed to tell people about God all the time, whenever we get the chance. And sometimes we need to open up that door. Sometimes we sit around waiting for a door to open for us when there's a handle there, or there's a push bar, or there's just a sign that says push or pull. We need to open the door sometimes. All right, why should we tell people about God? And there's several reasons that we do this. But we do need to tell people about God. And so it says, Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. In other words, God has been teaching us. If we've been growing and maturing like we're supposed to, God has been teaching us how we're supposed to live. And hopefully we have begun to live that way. And the point is that when we get old, we don't retire and shut up and let somebody else do the talking. We're supposed to teach the next generation about God. You know, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. It talks about, you are to speak of these things to your children when you rise up and when you lay down, when you sit around your table, when you walk by the wayside. You're supposed to be telling them about God. And they see, the problem is the word of mouth didn't work for them. They didn't teach their children. And so the very next generation forgot all about God. They didn't know who God was. And so they had to be taught. And so for us, whether we are young, whether we are old, we have a responsibility to tell people about God and what he has done. The great gift he has offered us in his son, Jesus Christ. And that's where salvation is going to come, when we reveal God's message. We should thank God. We should be telling people about God because of the thanksgiving in our hearts. Are you glad and happy that he has saved your soul? Are you happy that he has washed away your sins? You know, if you won an award, what would you do? You'd share that with others, right? You'd be glad to show off your trophy. You'd be glad to show off your certificate. I know in Texas, where we worship down there, one of the brothers was an archery champion. For his age group, he was the best in the state of Texas. And every year he'd win one of these big, shiny, bright belt buckles. And he wore that. He wore it all the time. He was proud of his accomplishments, and others acknowledged him for that. And so if something good happens to you, what are you supposed to do? You tell people, right? Yeah, if you won something or whatever, yeah, you tell people about that. We have the greatest gift ever given to us in Jesus Christ. And do we tell people about Jesus? No. There's a few heads shaking up, acknowledging the reality. No, we do not. We should be. Because that's the only way the church is going to stay strong and grow, is if we keep infusing it with people who are first generation Christians. Because I'll tell you, the first generation Christians have the most zeal. Because second generation, they don't show as much. They show some, but not as much. And third generation, ho-hum. That seems to be the attitude about the church. Ho-hum. Well, I've always done this. That's all I always do. No. We're to be thankful for what God has done for us. In Psalm 73 and verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Why do we get close to God? We put our trust in him, that I may declare all thy works, so that I can tell people what he has done for me. Psalm 75 and 1, we give thanks to thee, O God, we give thanks. We call on thy name and recount thy wondrous deeds. What has God done? You know, throughout the Old Testament, there's somewhere, at some point in time, someone recounts what has happened. Some of the Psalms do this. Sometimes it's when people get to a certain place, they recount all these things that took place. Before they crossed into the land of Canaan, they recounted all the deeds that took place in the wilderness, and how God brought them out of Egypt and then showed them all the signs, gave them the law, and described all the things that happened. You get to the Psalms, you read more about that. Then they have the historians, the Book of the Kings and the Chronicles, detailing all these details, recounting all that has taken place. And then Paul tells us we're supposed to read these things and learn from them. We look at them from the old as an example, and then we learn from these things that we read. You know, it's really amazing how those people who came across on dry land, came across the sea on dry land, saw all the miracles that had just taken place, all of the plagues that had befallen their enemy. They saw the Lord protect them with the fire to keep the enemy away from them. Then they saw the sea open up and they walked through in safety. And then the sea closed up on the top of their enemies. And 3 days later, they were complaining. Now, does that describe us sometimes? We think we have all these wonderful blessings, then we're going to complain about it. I mean, when people see the wondrous deeds of God, what is there to complain about? There should be nothing. Now, why should we tell? Here's the reason: to teach others about God. There are so many people in this country who have never darkened the door of a church building. We have some who are second generation non-believers. We have many in this country who don't really appreciate the truth, but they claim to have some sort of relationship with God. Our job is to teach people about God, and God means business. God is serious when he's talking about these things. In Psalm 75:9, "But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob." I hope that's your attitude. I hope that's what we want to do always. Until our dying breath, we want to be talking about God. I just read about a brother who passed away several years ago, standing up in the pulpit, and he got very tired. And when he finished his sermon, he got very tired and needed to sit down, and he just kept getting worse and worse. And the last breath that he said was, "Tell people about God. Tell people about God." And that should be our mantra. That's what we should be doing as Christians. Telling people about God every chance we get. Sometimes we need to make those chances. Psalm 78, verse 6, "That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." This is the way God wanted it from the beginning. This is what God wanted his patriarchs to teach their children about God and to love and respect God. That's what Moses commanded the Israelites to do. You teach your children about God and to respect and love God and do what he tells you to do. And then today, even in the apostolic age, in the age of Jesus Christ, we still have to tell people about God because they need to know him. Because that's the only chance they have of salvation. You look at these people, they are lost. They're going to spend an eternity in the fires of hell if we don't help them and guide them out of that wrong pathway. So that's what we should declare to them. And if you care about your children at all, which sometimes it doesn't appear very obvious, but if you care about your children at all, you're going to teach them about God and to respect God and to respect other people. Psalm 96 and verse 3, "Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples." We have a song in a songbook that's based on this passage here. But what do? We tell of his glory. What is the glory of God? He is the great God, and he is full of glory. And we must tell his wonderful deeds among others. We should tell to show praise unto his name. Psalm 92 and verse 2, "To declare thy steadfast love in the morning and thy faithfulness by night." That is our goal. That should be our goal, to talk about God. He needs to be the foremost in our life, right? Even Jesus said, "Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness." First, as of supreme importance. Then God's going to take care of you. He'll address your needs and whatever they might be. But we need to be steadfast and to declare his love for us. God loves us. God so loved the world. I think everybody could probably quote that passage, but do they really understand what it means? The great gift that has been given to us? That's the great love that God showed toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Read that in Romans. All right, "and thy faithfulness by night." even as we lay our head on our pillow, many of us take that opportunity to pray. And what do? God is faithful. God does not deny himself. And God will ever be true. He's given us his word. He has told us what we're supposed to do. And then we should realize, I haven't done it. I have not done that like I'm supposed to do. So what do you do when you don't do what God tells you to do? You ask for forgiveness. Along with that forgiveness is the asking for forgiveness is the idea that repentance is going to take place. I'm not going to repeat this the next day. I'm going to change. I'm going to start serving the Lord, my God, because of what he's done for me. And I'm going to show praise unto his name through my life, through my actions, through my words. In Psalm 92 and verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. And that's very true. There is no unrighteousness in God. The same way that in 1 John 1:5, he says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. God is truth. God is great. God should be our everything. But do we treat him like our everything? Usually God takes second place to what I want, to what you want. That needs to change. If that's the problem with you, putting God first is where we need to be. And he is there. He is as strong as a rock and steady as a rock. In Psalm 118, verse 17, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And when we die and cross over into that death, then we lose all opportunity to share the gospel message. We lose all opportunity to tell our family how much God means to us and why God should mean a lot to them. A lot of times we just keep these things to ourselves. Like I said, we remain silent when we have the opportunity, and we should be telling people about the Lord and what he has done for us and how great our life is because of it, how blessed we are. But a lot of times we don't think about it that way. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare the mighty acts. Yes, every generation should be proclaiming his works, but the older generation should be teaching the younger generation about these mighty works. First of all, let them know what they were. Let them know why they occurred, how they occurred, and recognize it's the power of God that did this. And also to point out that we're supposed to learn from what God did. Psalm 145, verse 6, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Depending on what version you're reading, this is King James, but some versions say your awesome or mighty acts. I mean, we're going to talk about what God did. God created the heavens and the earth. God created this world. He created life. He gave us everything in this life, and he has it all under control. He's the one who's going to decide when this earth is going to end. You know, there's scientists out there saying, well, we need to get off the earth in 100 years or we're all going to die. You know, 20 years ago, they said all the oceans would rise, and they still talk about that the polar cap's going to melt, the ocean's going to rise, and the only question I have is why aren't they evacuating the low areas yet? They don't believe it themselves. If they did, they'd be evacuating people, making it illegal to live in an area that's going to be flooded in the next 5 or 10 years. Okay, get off of that soapbox. All right. Now, why should we tell? We should tell to cause others to honor God. That's why we should do it. In Isaiah 12, verse 4, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Yes, God has many names. Exalted is one of those names. Reverend is one of those names. Holy is one of those names. There's many names attributed to God because of his character and what he has done for us. We give thanks to God. And when we do that, we can hopefully cause others. You know, let your light shine so others see your good works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why we do it. Isaiah 12 verse 5. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Do we do that? And no, we don't do that. We really can't. But you know what? There's a world that you live in. It's your personal space. It's your personal environment. Whether it's at the job or whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's in your home, wherever you are, that is your world. The people that you come in contact with, that you physically see and talk to, that is your world. That is the world God wants you to go and preach the gospel to every creature in that world. Go into all your world, how we should say it. Go into all your world and teach the gospel. Yes, let it be known wherever you are. Now, you can't do anything for those people over on the East Coast and Texas and Minnesota and around the world and other places. But you know what? Wherever you are, that's your world. That's where you need to be proclaiming his wonderful deeds. In chapter 21 and verse 6, "For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth." There are several places. Ezekiel was told to be a watchman. You declare unto people their sins, and then give them the opportunity to change. That's what a watchman does. He warns. You know, like that commercial on there, the guy standing up there, bank robbery going on. "Oh, I'm just a security monitor. I just tell people when there's a robbery, and look, yeah, there's a robbery." I mean, the commercial makes my point for me. What's the use in talking about that? If the watchman speaks and nobody pays attention to it, sometimes watchmen do speak. And sometimes they speak too much. Remember the boy that cried wolf? Third time, here the wolf comes and, just leave him alone. He's a crazy kid. And then they lost their sheep. God appoints us as watchmen as well. Because we are to watch out for each other. As Christians, as a family of God, we are here to watch out for each other, to help each other, to encourage each other, and to guide each other. That is our job. That is what we're supposed to do as a Christian. Let us tell about God. You know, why should we tell people about God? Because God has issued a challenge to mankind. He challenges a man if he can do what God is capable of doing. Now, can you create? You know, years ago there was a story, the scientists said they had a communication with God. Said, "Yeah, we want to create a man, and we'll use the same ingredients." But God says, "Make your own dirt." See? That's what God did. God made his own dirt. God made everything. And man cannot do that. God hopes to get man to consider who is worthy of praise and devotion. Notice in Isaiah 41, and Isaiah challenged them, these people, these false prophets, these people say, "Well, we're good as God, we are our own gods," and things like that. Here's what he said, "Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen." In other words, prophesy what's going to happen. "Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them, and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things for to come." See, people cannot do that. You don't believe me? You go to a psychic. Yeah, waste the money if you want to. Go to a psychic and say, "Before I believe anything you're going to tell me about my future, you tell me my past." Now, they may speak in generalities. But then you might remember something that maybe happened in your childhood and said, "Okay, this is on my mind. I'm thinking about this. You tell me what I'm thinking." You know, that's no different than the magicians when the Pharaoh said, "Well, I had this dream, but you got to tell me what I saw first." No, Nebuchadnezzar did that. "I had a dream, but you got to tell me what the dream was first before I'll accept your interpretation." Of course, Daniel was able to do that, but none of the others were. Because Daniel gave the credit to God for revealing those things. But can people do what God does? No way. Absolutely not. Now, why should we tell? Because God commands it. And this is one of those uh-oh moments. Yeah, I haven't been doing that. God commands it. He that knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. James 4:17. God commands us that we tell others. And we start off practicing on ourselves what God has done for us. But notice in Isaiah 58 and verse 1, cry loudly, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Tell people they're a bunch of sinners. Why? So that they will recognize their sin and change, repent, put the sin away from their lives. That's what the reason is for this. We know that. That's what Jesus said. That's what the apostles said. This is what God said. Don't hold it back. If a brother is in sin, you got to let them know about it. Their soul is in jeopardy. And that's what we got to consider. Their soul. And Isaiah 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. That's Isaiah 61, but you know what? This is the exact passage that Jesus read when he went into his hometown and went into the synagogue. They asked him to read. He opened up to this place. Then he says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. This is what he said. And so, that's exactly right. What are we to do? To proclaim. Proclaim means to tell people. This is the year of the Lord. Remember, this is, and so, okay. To inform people what God wants them to do. See, God wants us to do something. Some of us, we recognize that, and we have done. We have complied. We've obeyed the gospel. We've been baptized for the remission of our sins. We're trying to live faithful as the best we can. Some of us have gotten there. But some people need to be told what they need to do to be saved. And we have examples of that. Jeremiah 42. Now, from our scripture reading, the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. And then they said, yeah, okay, that's fine. You tell us these things. And God is our witness if we don't do what you tell us to do. You get that from verse 5 and 6? Yeah, God is our witness that we won't do what we're supposed to do. Now go to chapter 43 and the first and second verse. And when Jeremiah had completed all these words of the Lord that he gave to the people, he mentioned several people and they said, Jeremiah, you're lying. I mean, what can you do with people like that? And yes, they paid the price. They lost their lives. And God saw to it. They lost their lives at the hands of God. Alright, so we should keep nothing back. See, Paul said it was his duty. And it is our duty as well. Acts 20:27, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Most of you want the whole counsel of God. Not in one sermon, I'm sure. But yeah, you want the whole counsel of God. You want it all there. It is the reason we exist. Why are we here? Why do we exist? Why do members of the church exist? 1 Peter 2:9. And we've heard the first part of this a lot of times. We kind of ignore the second part. But it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. A lot of preachers just stop right there. They don't go and talk about the important thing, which is next. They just stop right there. Oh, y'all are great. God loves you, so don't worry about yourself. But here's the reason. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why we're the chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's own possession, that we might declare the excellencies of God. In 1 John 1 and 2, beginning verse 2, and the life was manifested, you know, manifested, made known. And the life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness. Bearing witness is speaking. This is what I saw. And then we proclaim to you, I'm telling you, the eternal life which was with the Father and was made known to us, manifested. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Yes, God has done this for us. In the pages of the New Testament, we have these people writing what God has done and provided for us, made known to us the salvation that is found only in Jesus Christ, and how to get to heaven by doing only what God commands, not adding to or taking away or anything like that. Our job is to tell people and each other. Now, the song we just sang, if the name of the Savior is precious to you, if His care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? Now think about that. Is His name precious to you? Is God precious to you? Will you not tell it? It doesn't say tomorrow. And the sentiment of the song says, tell it tomorrow, or tell it next week, or tell it next July. No, tell it today. Today is the day of gladness. Today is the day of salvation. Now, if your faith in the Savior has brought its reward, and it should have. If you don't feel you've got a reward, you're looking at things all wrong. Because there's great blessings by being in the faith. There's great, wonderful blessings by being saved. And so it has brought a reward. And if a strength you have found in the strength of your Lord, if the hope of a rest in His palace is sweet, oh, will you not, brother, the story repeat? Repeat the story over and over. Get to the point where you're comfortable telling the story. But here's the main point. If the souls all around you are living in sin, which they are, if the Master has told you to bid them come in, which He has, if the sweet invitation they never have heard, obviously they haven't heard it, oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? So that falls upon each and every one of us to tell people about this. You know, the words of that song really contain the message of this sermon. And can we honestly sing this song and have no intention of sharing the greatest message to mankind? I mean, think about that. We're depriving mankind. In other words, we have chosen that those people aren't worthy to hear the gospel. That's how it appears. Now, we may not have said that in our mind. Oh, they're not worthy of the gospel. But when we withhold it from anybody, you know, the sower went out, he sowed seed. Where did he scatter? He scattered it everywhere. He wasn't picky. He scattered the seed everywhere, and we should be doing the same thing. Can we withhold anything from anyone and God still be pleased with us? Think about that. The opportunity is there. Can you just withhold and keep quiet and not say anything and let this person who is on the pathway to destruction just go on by, drifting along, and not say a word? You know, if we saw someone fell asleep in a rowboat and the boat was drifting down and we knew there were waterfalls up ahead, what would we do? Don't say anything. You don't want to bother his sleep. Would we do that? Or, hey, there's falls down there. Wake up. We'd warn them, right? Yeah, we're decent human beings. We would warn people if there's danger, if a little child running toward the street and there's a car coming. Man, we'd make a big commotion. Hey, somebody, stop that child. Or we'd try and do it ourselves. We'd care about them because they are in the path of destruction. All of our friends, all of our neighbors, they're on the path to destruction. And we are... Are you willing and prepared to tell it today? We can help you.
First of all, if you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know what you need to do, and you know what it takes. You hear the gospel, you believe it, you repent of your sins, you confess His name, you're baptized for the remission of sins. The baptism washes away the sins, and it's the sins that keep us separated from God. And then that starts our journey of being faithful to God, learning from Him. And one of those things we are taught to do is to tell it today. Are you ready to do that? Consider those thoughts. That's our invitation for today. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.